Hey, I want to share a couple things. We had been talking about the vision. Was anybody here this past weekend for our Vision Sunday? Man, I just love Pastor Dan, our senior pastor, brought an amazing message about the vision of where he believes the Lord wants to take us as the Rock Church and One Outreach Center in 2019. And I couldn't be more excited. I fully support the vision that God gave him as our senior leader. And I'm so ready to serve and see what the young adults, what that looks like. Right, because Pastor Dan says, hey, this is what we want to do as a church. And we have weekly meetings with the pastors and say, look, guys, this is where God wants to take us. We're going to have a year of sowing. We're going to sow into people's lives. We're going to sow into people's families. We're going to sow into our ministries. We're going to sow into the things that matter, and we're going to watch things grow. Right, and then he says, what I want you guys to do as pastors, look inside your ministries. So I'm a pastor, obviously, our young adults. I work with our connect groups. I work with our married groups. And he says, all right, so ask yourselves, what does sowing look like in your ministries? So how do we as a young adults ministry, as the Rock Young Adults, how do we sow? Well, I want to sow into you guys. If there's something within you that wants to be developed, maybe you want to be developed to be a leader or a teacher or to serve in a certain area or developed to be a musician, or to be able to share your faith with someone. Well, we want to do that. We want to come alongside you. We want to sow into you. I want to call you. I want to text you. I want to say, hey, what's going on? Or maybe if it's not me, we have our other leaders, our other people, our other team members who are already serving, who are mature in Christ, that want to cheer you on and say, what's up? How you doing? We want to sow into you because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. Because you're worth it. And we know God wants to do something in that. So that's what young adults looks like. And so tonight's message, I just want to title it, You Sow What You Know. You Sow What You Know. I want to, you know, millennials, Gen Zers, that's pretty much who's in here. Either you're born probably between, I think millennials are 80 or 81, depending on where you go, all the way to Gen Zers is probably, I think, 98. Anyone born later than 98 in the house? No? A couple of people. Oh, people are 99. Anyone 99 or 2000? Oh, dang, it's 2019. Oh, my gosh. Wow. So, yeah, so Gen Zers, millennials. So, man, I don't know if you guys hear it or not, but there's like a bad rap with some Gen Zers with millennials. Like, oh, they're lazy, or they don't know how to do nothing but play video games, or they do this, or they do that. But I believe that one of the biggest challenges that, as a generation that we face, that a lot of these other issues come or stem from, is the issue of identity. See, because if we don't know who we are, if we don't know whose we are, then that's where we get these other identity issues. So when I say you sow what you know, I'm saying the things that we sow in our lives come from what we understand or what we know as people. So if we don't know who we are, then we're sowing confusion. And then what kind of fruit do you think you reap if you sow confusion? Some confused fruit, right? Some not good tasting fruit, right? So I want to talk a little bit about who we are, right? We gave everyone an opportunity to come before Christ. And so maybe there's a couple of you that still kind of like holding out, like, but I want to say, if you are born again, born by the Spirit of God, then the Bible says a lot about you. And I want to share a couple verses with you. John chapter 1, verse number 12 in the NLT. It says, but all who believed, say that with me, say all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you believed him, if you accepted him, then you are a child of God. Every morning when I was growing up, my dad would drop us off at school. It was usually my dad on the way to work. And he started this thing with me. He would say, I, and I had to finish this sentence. He had to teach it to me a few times, but then he would just say, I. He would say, I, and I would say, I belong to Jesus. So then he'd just be like, I belong to Jesus. And then so this was started like in late elementary and middle school. And you kind of get too cool in middle school and elementary. And then your dad's dropping you off, and you're just like, I belong to Jesus. You don't want, like, your friends to see, right? Or, I mean, as I got into high school and was able to drive to school on the way to the car, I belong to Jesus. Like, if I had a rough, mad morning or whatever, it's like, belong to Jesus. But he was telling me what? Who I was. And he's telling me who I am. He was putting identity into me as a young man, that I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of God. Don't you love that song? I am a child of God. But the Bible says so. So with my son, I changed it up a little bit. You know, I'm a little bit extra. So with my dad, he said, I belong to Jesus. With Andrew, I say, I belong to Jesus. I am. I will. I have to tell him, I will be on my best behavior. Because my son, if you know my son, we got to get him. Not only got to tell him who he is, but we got to tell him what he's going to do. Right? Like, hey, I will be on my best behavior. I can do all things through Christ and strengthen me. And I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So I say, I just start those first things and he finishes them. And what am I doing? I'm putting identity on my son. I'm telling him whose he is. I'm telling him what he can do. All things through Christ and strengthens me. And I'm going to tell him he needs to act right. Right? I will be on my best behavior. But the thing about that, this verse, that we are children of God. This next verse, I love, takes it a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4. I'm going to read a few verses here. I was going to read, this is so good, like I couldn't stop. Verse number 4, even as he, talking about God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons or daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So before the foundations of the earth, he knew that he was going to have to send his son to die because there was sin. But he also knew by sending his son, that was going to pay the price and make a way for each person in this room to be adopted heirs. To be adopted heirs. We are children of God. And as children of God, we get the birthright. We get eternal life. And we get everything that comes with being a child of God. And just as God is pleased with Jesus, because we are now children of God, he can look at us and see us as blameless if you are born of the Spirit of God. So when he looks at you, he sees different than what you look at in the mirror when you believe those lies. See, because when you go out and mess up, you come home and you look in the mirror. I don't know about you, there was times when I came home and I know I was out doing things I should not have been doing. And I looked in the mirror, and I saw three or four of me, and I knew that. Oh, you guys didn't get that? I was just like, okay, good. That's good. I knew, I was like, oh, man, I knew what I saw. I saw a messed up person. But when you're bought with a price, God looks at you and says, that's my son. That's my daughter. They've been blood washed. They're made righteous. They're made worthy. They are heirs to the throne. They are inhabitants. They are adopted into my family. And is God a good father or is he a bad father? He's a good father. And if a good father on this earth takes care of their kids, what do you think an even better father, a heavenly father, has in store for each and every one of us? So I know this doesn't solve the whole identity issue, but whether there's a struggle of identity, whether it be a sexual identity issue or just an academic identity issue or a peer identity issue, you don't feel like you measure up to other people. The root of the challenges that we see as a generation often could stem from the idea that we don't know who we are or whose we are. But if we can know and believe that if we're born of the Spirit of God, I have to clarify that. Because you can say, oh, well, I do good. That's where the whole idea of like, well, I mean, I'm not a bad person. So, yeah, that, no. And when you put your faith in Jesus and you become born again, this is what becomes available for you. And if that's not you, then that's not your destiny yet. That's not your future right now. That's why we give everyone an opportunity. Because I would never want to just assume because you sit in these seats that you're born again. I would never want to just assume that you sit in these seats that you're a son or a daughter. Because you can live life through the motions, but unless you've really surrendered your heart and life, then you are those things that you see because the enemy's lying to you. And I'm not trying to be harsh, I'm not trying to be mean, but I have to tell you the truth. I have to tell you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God makes it clear. If you believe, right? Isn't that what it said? That's not my words. Right? Because as millennials, as Gen Zers, live your truth, man. No. This is the only truth that we live. This is the only truth that we can live. Because your feelings, can I be honest with you? Your feelings, my feelings, don't mean anything. Because they're crazy. They fluctuate. But this word is living and breathing and doesn't change. And it never has, and it never will. The Bible says, earth will perish, but the Word of God will remain. The Word of God will remain. And so this is the truth that we live by. Not the truth of our feelings. Not the truth of how we feel today. I don't feel like going on Friday. I'm tired. I don't feel like getting up and going to church. Who cares about your feelings? Get into the house of God. Get around believers. Let's snap outside of who we think we are and know who God has said we are. See, because when my son goes to school, I don't ever want him to think or wonder if it's true. I don't feel like I'm going to be on my best behavior. I don't feel like I can do all things through Christ. No. You are, son, because the Bible says you are. You are friend, you are sister, you are brother, what the Bible says you are. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And maybe you don't feel like a conqueror. Maybe you don't feel like you can do anything. Maybe too many people have told you that you are challenged in a certain area, or you're not, I'm just not smart. I can't do this. I can't do that. But I'm telling that you can do anything through Christ Jesus. Come on, you can do anything. Few more minutes here. But that's just so good because you will sow what you know, and if you don't know who you are, then you're going to be sowing seeds that aren't who you are. You need to know who you are so that you know what will come out of your seed so you can take care of it accordingly. Anybody, any green thumbs in the house? You know, I'm a homeowner, so I have to, you know, I like to, and I grew up, we planted in the spring and then took out different things and then we pulled weeds. And my parents, they were migrant workers, so they grew up in the field, so they just knew all these plants and all that. So we grew up doing all these kind of things. So now I plant things and I have to know what I'm planting, because based on the plant, you need to know, does it need to go in the shade, right? Or does it need to go in the sun? Is it a perennial? Is it going to last all year? Or is it something that I can expect to die? Because like, oh my gosh, it's dying. Well, hey, it was only going to last for one season, right? Because the winter, it's cold, it's dead. It kind of is a loss. You know what you're getting. You know the seed. You know the plant, right? Or you know, I need to water it every day. Or, hey, I only need to water it this much. Or this doesn't need sun. I know now, remember with the drought that happened, a lot of people did a lot of different landscaping. Have you seen a lot of succulents? And they changed up. They don't have lawns anymore. They put turf or dirt or rocks. They changed their landscape because, like, oh man, we don't have any water. So we need to understand what we're working with. We need to know who we are so that we can care for it accordingly, right? So we know what seed we have, so we can know what's the treatment on this. How often does it need to be watered, or where do I put it, right? Like I'm saying. So when we understand who we are and we understand what kind of seeds we're going to sow, so what does that look like for me and you? How do we apply this to our life? See, because I don't know about you guys. I want good things. I want a good life. I want friends. I want family around me. I want to be happy. I want to be full. I want to have enough resources so that I can, you know, do those kind of things. I want to be a generous person. I have ambitions or things in my mind of how I'd like to see a life. But in order to get those things, right, if you want to be a doctor, you have to go to medical school, right? And then you have to pass boards, right? I mean, there's some future doctors in the house. Like, there are things that you have to do. So what we need to do is we need to understand, what do we want in our life? So then we can know what kind of seeds. Because tell the truth with yourself, there's people that plant a lot of angry seeds or bitter seeds or resentment seeds. The Bible says God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. You can't trick God. You can't plant anger and expect kindness in return. You can't plant stinginess and expect people to be so generous with you. God is not mocked. God is not fooled. You can try to fool other people. You can even try to fool yourself. But that's just not going to happen. You can't plant, we say this all the time, you can't plant apple seeds and expect oranges. It's just not going to happen. That's what it looks like in our life. So I posted on my Instagram story, my personal one this week, like what kind of seeds do we sow? What kind of seeds do you want to sow? That's our challenge tonight. That's our takeaway when we leave this place. One last thing I wanted to share with you. If you're responsible for a harvest and you see people that you've given seeds to, and you see someone that is taking those seeds and they're planting them and they're watering and they're taking care of those seeds, and then you see someone who has seeds and they're just holding on to them, who do you want to give more seeds to? Yeah, my son was in my office just earlier this afternoon. I always use my son, man. This boy teaches me about Jesus, But I was asking him, son, who would you want to give more seeds to? And he was like, the person who held on to him. And I thought he was just being a smart aleck, because like I thought like he knew the answer. And I'm like, son, you're silly. That's not the right answer. Like, you want to get, like, I'm trying to get this. He's like, no. He's like, no. He's like, is that the wrong answer? I'm like, yeah. And I was like, are you being serious? He's like, yeah, because you're giving to the person that saves. You're saving the seeds. And I was like, you're still wrong, son. But it makes sense, right? Like, in our lives, like, we're given gifts. We're given talents. We're given people around us. We're given good ground that we could potentially sow in. Right? You're coming to church and you just leave. Wait, but this is good ground. You could meet people here. You could build a life. You can build a community of people. You're in a good church. You're in a great city. You're in a good job. You're around people that just need to be told that Jesus loves them. You hear them complain to you all day, and you have the answer. You need Jesus. Not like in a judgy way, but you have the answer for their life. But you're holding on to your seed. For whatever reason, to Andrew's mind, it's just like, yeah, because you're saving it. But there is an end time harvest, the Bible says. And we are living in the last days, and I don't want to be caught with seed in my hand when I could be planting seed. And I want to take care of the good seed, and I want to make sure that I'm planting good seed. And I want to make sure, see, because, and Pastor Dan used this message, this is the last verse, and we're going to close out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10 in the ESV. He who supplies seed to the sower, he is talking about God. The sower is you guys, me. Seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So he's saying, the person who gave you the seed in the first place sees what the sower's doing. And if he sees that you're being good with the seed, he's going to give you more seed, and it's going to be multiplied into your righteousness. Actually, Paul is quoting an Old Testament scripture where it was literally meaning that you'd be given more provision. Right? So you're given more provision. Like, you are planting seed. You are going to be given more blessings, more gifts, more talent, so that you can sow even more seed that will bring back even more fruit in your life. Does that get anybody excited? That this is, I mean, maybe I'm just not telling it well enough. Let me try again. Okay, so we have gifts, we have talents, we have resources. And God is saying, plant these seeds, sow these seeds into a harvest. And if you do well with these seeds, I am going to multiply your gifts, multiply your resources, multiply your finances, because I know that you are going to continue to be a good sower, and it's going to multiply and bring more fruit in your life, because that's what I desire for you. That's how I want to bring a harvest, because I want to use you as a vessel. Does anybody get excited about that? Let's stand on our feet. Let's stand to our feet. The band's going to come back up. I know. Is anybody mind staying a few more minutes? I want the band to come back up, because I want us to sing this part of this song. Because in 2019, we are going to sow. And I want us to sign up for sowing. We're going to sow with our lives, with our talents, with our gifts, with our resources. And now that we know who we are as sons and